going to discuss some plans with the Michael Alunis, the possibility of bringing him in August and having him meet you folks and preach for us. So just continue to pray for that, that God will give us direction, whether he is the right man for our assistant pastor position or not. And just continue to pray for him and pray that God would just have his perfect will in that situation. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit tonight, the privilege of preaching your word. Lord, I thank you for those who are here and just ask that you would give us understanding tonight. Lord, encouragement tonight. Lord, it was encouraging to me to hear the testimonies, the praise. And you're worthy of it. Lord, should you never do another thing for us, you're still worthy of it because of the ultimate work of your Son on Calvary. If he never did anything else for us, that would certainly in many ways be enough. But we're thankful for all the other things that you do. And we praise you for who you are. And thank you, Lord, for loving us the way you love us. And so thank you that you thought enough of us to give us a perfect book that we could hold in our hands. A book that we can read and memorize and hide in our hearts. And we ask that it would be a blessing and a help to us tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to title this tonight, Tested Faith. Tested Faith. You probably have experienced this. You go out to start your vehicle, and when you turn the ignition, it, instead of firing right up, which, you know, newer vehicles tend not to have a whole lot of issues in this area like vehicles of the past. But every once in a while, you go out and you start to turn the ignition key, and instead of firing right up, it just kind of turns, you know, just woo, 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 and then eventually it fires up. Well, that's not what you want to hear, right? You don't want to hear that with the vehicle. And so it's in the back of your mind, but hey, you're headed to work, so you get in the car and you start to go. It eventually fires up. You got to stop by Walmart to pick up something before you head to the office, and you go back out, you put the key in the ignition, and you turn it again. And again, the same thing happens. That starter or that battery, something's not quite right. And it's just turning, but it's not really turning on quickly like it should. Eventually get it started. You go to work. You work your 10-hour day. And then after work, you jump in the car. And of course, 10 hours later, you're not thinking about what happened that morning. You put that key in the ignition. You turn it, and the same thing happens. And all of a sudden, you say, whoa, I can't have this. Because tomorrow I may get up to go to work and it may not turn over, so I'm going to have to get this taken care of. So you head up to Advance Auto or maybe AutoZone, and you know they have those little machines and they bring them out and they pop the hood and they hook it up to your battery and they're going to test it. They're going to test to see if you have enough power in that battery or what's wrong with that battery or the starter or that alternator. They're going to try to find out what's going on with that vehicle. Well, sometimes in our Christian experience, in our lives, same thing happens. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, we're to live by faith, right? I'm to walk by faith, live by faith. And sometimes we begin to falter, just like a car will begin to falter and you got to get it tested out to find out what's wrong. Sometimes in this life of faith, we begin to falter. We falter in that area of faith. We falter because we get overly worried. We falter as we question God. We falter when we speak words of doubt instead of words of trust. We just, at times, in the life of faith, begin to falter. And when those things begin to happen, we need, in a sense, that same kind of diagnostic test that, you know, you would do for an automobile. You need to examine yourself. You need to examine and see why you're struggling in the life of faith. Maybe it's time to get your faith tested. So the place to go is not Advanced Auto, obviously. You're not going to go there to get your faith tested. You're going to go to your Bible, I hope. You're not going to go to a mechanic when you figure out the problem. You're going to go to the Holy Spirit because he's the only one that really has the answer. And so when these things come upon us, and we begin to falter, there may be a need for a faith test. And this, in a sense, here what we find in James 1 is, if you would, a faith test. So we're going to read verses 2 through 8 of James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So I'm calling this tested faith, or the faith test. And the first thing I want you to notice is this: the privilege of adversity. The privilege of adversity. Now, how do you look at adversity? Here's a test. Here's a test found in verse 2. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. All joy. In other words, what you are encountering in your life is actually a privilege. In a sense, that the word joy means joy. It means you are delighting in what God is allowing you to go through. He said you are going through diverse temptations. And we understand, I think, the word diverse, different kinds, various kinds of temptations that come into our lives. And I think the word temptation stands as it is translated here in the sense that any time, any conflict, any trial, any adversity comes into your life, always, listen, always brings you to a fork in the road, every single time. It doesn't have to be a temptation causing you to fall into sin. It could be a temptation that would just cause you to go your own way, which ultimately would lead you to sin, because it's a rejection of God's choice or God's will in your life. So it brings you to this fork in the road. Am I going to go God's way, or am I going to choose my way? Your way may seem more sensible. My way may seem more sensible. But going our own way is never the right way. So he said, I want you to count it a privilege to go through adversity, through these diverse temptations. I want you to realize that when I bring adversity and trials into your life, it's an opportunity for you. Temptation is an opportunity, listen, not a burden. Temptation, in God's eyes, is an opportunity, not a burden. This is the way God wants you and me to see trials, an opportunity. No matter how big the trial, the adversity in your life may be, or if it's somewhat of a, what in comparison to the massive things that some folks go through, may seem relatively trivial. When it happens to you, it's always a big deal, isn't it? It's kind of like the person who goes into surgery. Well, I'm just going in to get my elbow, you know, operated on. You know, it's not like brain surgery. But you know, the person going in for elbow surgery, it's a big deal to them. In fact, a pitcher for Boston College went in for Tommy John surgery. And if you know anything about Tommy John surgery, it's a surgery on the elbow. He died from it. A 19, 20-year-old freshman pitcher for the Boston College baseball team died from an elbow surgery. So when it's you, it's not such a trivial or minor deal, is it? Nevertheless, God says here, I want you to count it all joy that you get to fall into diverse temptations, into these adversities and trials. Listen, temptation, now I think this is important too. Temptation is not an evidence of a lack of faith in your life. Well, you know what? If I was living by faith like I should, God would never have to send trials my way. And if you start thinking that way, you have a defeatist mentality, and so do I. That is not the case. When God allows adversity or trials to come into your life, it is not an evidence of lack of faith, but it's a chance to mature your faith. And so here's what you can expect for the rest of your life. Now, I'm going to assume here, Sammy, you are the youngest in this room, and I won't even guess who the oldest in the room is. The point is, no matter what your age is, from the youngest to the oldest in this room, listen, you will never stop. You will never stop being tested. You will never cease to have to, in a sense, go through the privilege of adversity in your life. Because we never stop growing in the realm of faith. There is always more maturity that is needed. Now, I've been in ministry a long time now, and I'm getting in the long in the tooth kind of life now, 40 years plus of preaching, 36, 37 years full-time ministry. I'm starting to get long in the tooth, as they want to say, but I haven't come anywhere near close to finishing this course of where God is going to allow me and place me in a path where adversity comes into my life. That'll never stop. And until I graduate to heaven, that will never stop. That'll never stop. And so if we're looking for it to stop, we're looking at something that's not plausible, something that will never occur. So God says there's a privilege here in verse 2, the privilege of adversity. You need to count it all joy when God allows those things to come into your life, because it's a chance for you to mature your faith. So you might need a recharge of faith if you look at adversity only as a burden in your life. I'm not saying you have to like necessarily what's going on. I'm saying your approach to the adversity needs to be one of saying, God, this is a privilege. You're counting me worthy to go through this, and I choose for you to mature my faith through this. The privilege of adversity. Secondly, in this testing of faith, is the patience through adversity. Look at verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I guess we could say that patience is a byproduct of genuine faith. Patience is a byproduct of genuine faith. If I'm truly walking by faith, then one of the evidences of that walk and one of the results of that genuine life of faith is a life of being patient before God and patient before others as I endure the adversity, endure the trial, endure the temptation. It's interesting. We understand the word patience. It means what it says. There's also this connection to this word of cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Yeah, God has this. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to complain, because God has this. Cheerful endurance. That's a byproduct of a genuine faith. An attitude of saying, I know God will work through this trial. I know He will. I don't necessarily like the trial, but I sure like my God who's working through the trial in my life. And God will do this work. Look at those verses again. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's a byproduct of that faith. The perfect work of patience makes us perfect and entire. Notice that in the next verse. Let patience have her perfect work. So that perfect work of patience, as you continue to trust God, makes you perfect and entire. Now, you already understand the word perfect. You understand that word is not referring to sinless. None of us are sinless. Only before the eyes of God are we sinless, but we know what we are. We know the struggles that we have. We don't understand that word means that we're complete. Complete, we're mature and sound. So that perfect work of patience makes us complete and sound. And that's what your spouse needs to see in you. That's what your children need to see in your life. When your neighbors learn about the tragedy that happened in your life or the circumstances that are really testing you, whatever those things may be. And they learn about those things, and those things do occur where folks who know us, whether at a distance or know us up close and personal, they find out and they're watching to see how we as Christians respond. And they need to see in us a completeness and a soundness that those things have not shaken us. Those things haven't shaken us. And I love this. This has been special to me now for about 10 years. Those last two words of verse 4, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, as you've allowed this adversity to come in my life, I take it as a privilege to be able to be tested by you, Father. And as I walk by faith, I'm going to be patient for you to accomplish in me, to complete, to perfect in me whatever it is you're trying to do as you mature me. And God, I want nothing but Christ and whatever He intends for me through this trial. I want nothing but You and what You personally intend for me to make me more like You. That's what I want. I want nothing else. Those are two important words in Scripture. Because that's not often the way Christians respond when they go through trials and testing in their life. That is an evidence of a faith that is correctly working. Just like when you go out and you place that key in the ignition and you turn that ignition, all of a sudden just fires up like that. You know that alternator is working correctly. You know the battery is fully charged. You know it's working. How do people know your faith is really working? One of the ways is not only an attitude of joy through the trial and of patience during the trial, but of saying, Christ, You're sufficient. And whatever You have intended for me through this to help me through the situation is sufficient. People are going to watch. They're going to see that. It makes me think of Philippians 4:19. But my God shall what? Supply all your needs. He'll do that through trials. He'll do that through the temptations that He allows to come into our life. So, when we look at the second part, you may conclude this. You might need a recharge of faith if you are not developing patience. If you're not developing patience as God allows trials to come in your life. And then the last thing this evening is found in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And here is the promise of wisdom in adversity. So we've looked at the privilege of adversity, the patience through adversity, and the promise of wisdom in adversity. Because all of us go through adversity. And while we're going through it, we need God's wisdom. So again, he says, if any of you lack wisdom. Well, I qualify because there's plenty of things that I don't understand as God understands. There's many things that I need wisdom for. But while I often isolate this verse, and you've heard me isolate this verse, just take that verse without the context around it and say, whatever the issue is, if you need wisdom, you can just ask God. I believe that. I believe we can isolate this verse. But I think it's also a smart thing to think of it in the context of what we read before and after this verse. It's in the context of trials. That in the midst of trials and adversity, you need God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom, and I need God's wisdom. So, in what am I lacking wisdom? Again, in this context, it's wisdom to know how to patiently endure the trial and to put my dependency totally on the Lord. In a sense, this, wisdom to know when not to jump the gun. you get a pink slip. And you've been working at this company for 33 years, and you are 2 years from retirement, and you got a pension waiting for you. I just heard this with somebody. You know, this has happened to a lot of people, unfortunately, in our day and age. Right up against retirement, and you got a pension waiting to you, and the company is going under, and the pension's going to be gone, and 33 years of experience are going down the drain. And what do you do? Well, there's a thought of panic, isn't there? I would first have a feeling of panic, just like when you turn the corner and somebody jumps out and scares you. You're going to have a natural reaction of fear. The same thing happens to any of us in these kind of situations. But then it's going to God and say, God, I know you don't want me to panic. None of this makes sense to me. And this is a huge blow to me and my family. But God, you tell me that I'm to look at this as a privilege that this adversity has come upon me. So God, I'm going to count it all joy. And God, you tell me you want me to be patient as you work for my good. So God, I'm going to have an attitude of patience as I wait on you to supply my needs. But God, between here and the answer, I need your wisdom to know how to cope with the situation. So God, I don't want to jump the gun. I got bills to pay. And all of a sudden my income's cut off. And you know what? I can't be spending all the savings. Otherwise, when it's time to retire, I don't have anything. So there's that trusty plastic card in my pocket, and that'll take care of everything. You realize how many people, you realize the average debt of people in our country is astronomical. People in debt for tens of thousands of dollars. And I'm not talking just out in the world. I mean, that is for everybody, Baptist people included. We've come to depend on a credit card to take care of our needs instead of going to God for our needs. People running themselves into debt. That's what I'm saying. You need to go to God and say, God, you've promised to give me wisdom. So God, I'm asking for wisdom to know how to conduct myself, because that plastic credit card is not the answer. That's not the answer. Running myself up into debt and then saying, well, it'll all work itself out in the end. It may not work itself out in the end. I need God's wisdom. And so you say, God, provide me the wisdom that I need. Total dependence on you to give me your direction from the moment the adversity occurs until you supply the need. God, give me your wisdom and help me to patiently wait for it. Reminds me of that hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but what? Wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Seeking sand. And we just need to have that kind of a faith, not ourself, in Him. God, help me to walk by faith. So, as you test yourself in this realm, you might need a recharge of faith if you don't seek His wisdom and attempt to deal with your adversity in your own means. So many Christians do that. They want to jump the gun and try to solve their problem. And they make wrong decisions. And many times they're devastating decisions that affect not only them, but if they're married, they affect their spouse, they affect their children. They make these decisions, they jump the gun as though God has forsaken them. But He tells us He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He has not. So as you look at these verses tonight, there's in a sense a test. Tested faith. As you look at these things tonight, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Now, whatever conclusion you've come to tonight, the answer is always in Jesus Christ. Always is. And if you say, well, you know what, I'm not doing very good in this area, of this particular area that you mentioned, or that particular area, or maybe I'm struggling all three of these areas. Okay, listen, and a lot of Christians are. That's so. Well, it's not okay if you're just going to stay there. It's you run to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and finisher of it. And in that faith includes our life and the things we do in our life. So you look to him. Let him do a work in you. Now look at the last few verses as we close, verses 7 and 8. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So it's kind of like a circle. Here's a test of faith. And what is it that helps you pass the test of faith? Having faith. Go back to the middle part of verse 6. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. If you're not going before him in faith. So the test of faith is to reveal where you're at in the attitude of faith, so that you can go and ask him to build up your faith. But as you ask him, do this. Believe him. Believe him. So you're going to pray for some people tonight. Are we just going to mention names and go through the motions of prayer? Or are we actually going to believe him as we go before the throne? Because if we, as he says, waver, as verse 6 says, and if we are double-minded, he just bluntly tells us, and this is just one of the things I like about our God. He's just straightforward. He's honest. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We are to live by faith. We're to walk by faith. But sometimes it's necessary to test our faith to see if our faith is where it ought to be. So I trust tonight that you will examine yourself. And hopefully you can say, you know what, my faith is where it ought to be. And if not, you can deal with it tonight. You can deal with it right now. Father, I thank you for your word. Pray that it would be a help to me, to everyone here. Lord, we'll thank you for it. We look forward to being able to live out the rest of this week. Help us to be looking for opportunities to tell others about Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would use this church to bring honor and glory to your name. And then as we leave this place here in just a little while, that you give us safety returning home. And God, just help us to daily walk by faith. Just simply believe you. Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.